Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
Glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for today. Father, I thank you for every person in this place. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for you bless every one of them. In the name of Jesus. Burdens are lifted. Yokes are broken. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. Give a big hand clap to the worship team. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Clap for Albert also. Glory to God. And where is Jacob? Where is Jacob? Where is Jacob? Yeah. Glory be to God. Yeah, things are what? Yeah, sometimes things can be tight, eh? But Jacob is getting better and better, eh? Each day. Hallelujah. And Jacob and some other people in the worship team teamed up together last week and scared a certain young man who was playing the guitar. Eh? They scared him, told him, welcome, eh? to LAT. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, the reason why, by the way, I hope you guys realize that I'm not bad. Amen? I'm really good, but it is just my passion for God that makes me want people to do their best in whatever they are doing, if they're doing it for God. I don't mind if you do the worst for your girlfriend, the worst for your boyfriend, your husband, or your wife. Your family is not my business. Your relationships are not my business. You understand? I can advise what, but that area is primarily not my business. It is your business. You and your girlfriend and your boyfriend and your wife and husband. Amen? My business, when it comes to Sunday, to other days like Thursday, is to make sure God receives the best he's supposed to receive. Amen? If I gauge you and you're like P7 level in something, I wouldn't want you I don't want to know that you're offering P3 level stuff. Do you understand? You see, now, it is not only me who feels that way, but actually God feels much more in that aspect. You understand? You guys, you should be serious with God. Please. You know, this is God. I don't know if what it means to you. He's God. Now, it is essentially for the same reason why to this day, I don't understand how people come to church late. I just don't understand. You know, maybe God should help me maybe to backslide so that I can understand why people do what they do. You understand? I guess maybe he should give me grace to first become a little bit unserious so that I can understand why people now worship, worshiping the master, and people are indifferent about it. Catherine Kuhlman said years ago, she said, if you mean business with God, God will mean business with you. If you, there should really be, for most of you, 98% of us, there should be no reason why we should come to church late. No reason. 98% of us. No reason. If you really research yourself, you realize that you're just pretending that you love God. You're just pretending. You know, If you have kids, there's no reason. You can wake up early and prepare the kids. If you stay wherever, this is a lady I saw in red. What's your name again? Stella. Stella stays in Entebbe, isn't it? Stella came here, I saw her like 10:25 walking in. Entebbe. Entebbe. Entebbe what? Entebbe. You know, now for you stay in, okay, let's even just say Bugolobi. Bugolobi and Tebe. Now, who should come late? There's someone who, you know, this is when you realize people are not serious. Eh? There's someone on Thursday, this person is kind of, we are, you know, in good terms, like all of you. Eh? So, so I told this person once, sometime ago, that if you ever need transport to come to church and you don't have trouble, just let me know. Text me and I'll send you one. So on Thursday, this person wanted to come and pray. So this person sends me a text that, you know, I want to come to pray, but I'm hard up. So I was like, cool. I sent money, mobile money. Now, I was so, not really annoyed, but I was so disturbed that this person came late. And they were not coming like from an office where like work ends at 5:30 or 4, you know, so traffic. Zero. I know they don't have a job. But they came late for a prayer meeting. Now, for me, those things, I just don't understand them. I don't. That's why I was like, maybe you guys, you should help me. Pray for God to give me grace to backslide so that I can now feel what you feel. You understand? You see, the day I got born again, man, I've never known what it means to be unserious with God. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know. Even shortly before I got saved, I was serious. I told you once that I got saved when I was on campus, second year. But before I got saved, there's a friend of mine who used to take me to church, to KPC. That time it was only one branch, that is KPC Central, what is now Watoto. So this guy was born again and used to take me to church. Now, the guy wanted me to get saved. So as I agree, you know, go to church. Now, so I went with him. Now, initially, now when I got there, what's like the beauty about the place? They were babes. You understand? Amen? They were hot chicks. So, now we used to go for the 2 o'clock service. That time there was 8, 10, midday and 2. So, we used to go for the 2 o'clock service after eating maram on campus. You know? So, so I would never enter, you know, into the church until all the hot babes who were in for the 12 o'clock were what? We are out. Because, man, you look at beauty. I told you the other day that I have the what? The sense of beauty. Amen. So, man, now after like 30 minutes, they're all gone. Then I would enter. You know. Now, a time came, but again, I'm not yet born again. A time came when now what was taking me to church was now the worship. I'm not born again, but I didn't want to miss even a single song. Of, you know. Now, this guy who was taking me to church, this guy wasn't serious with time. Now, me was not born again. I'm the one who used to tell him that, you man, we are late. You see, some people want to get, what? Saved, but you're not helping them to get saved. Because you're very unserious. So, you try to, but the guy looks at you, unserious, you know, say, I don't want, what? Now, this guy wants me to get saved. He's supposed to be to take me, but he's unserious. You know, so I used to tell him, you man, we have to be there. Now, for me, I didn't want to miss worship. Amen? So, now the babes were now a non-issue. Thrown out of the picture. Now, it was the worship. Then I got saved, of course, after that. But I got saved on my own, in my room. Amen? So, anyway, I don't understand why I just don't understand. Glory be to God. Amen. Now, because you aren't serious with the things of God, that also, you know, these things, by the way, are true. Because you aren't serious with the things of God, that's why you also think that God is unserious. You think it, but you can't acknowledge it. Let me show you how you think it. You know, like God gives you a promise. So because you are unserious about the things of God, you can't even really believe what he has told you. You understand? Because being serious with God is not in you. So even what he says, you don't really believe. You don't, you understand? A challenge comes up and then, shoo, the promise out of the picture. Because you don't know that God is unserious. Because you think God is like you. Hallelujah. By the way, my sermon today is what? Is, it is something like that. Not being unserious, but about the promises of God getting fulfilled. Now you can get a breather. Hallelujah. Now you're happy. Amen. But you guys, be serious. You know, there's some, you know, please be serious with God, honestly. You know, give him the best you can. What you cannot offer, God doesn't expect you to offer it. He doesn't. Because he knows you don't have it. But if you can, do the best you can for him. And I will tell you again, Catherine Coleman said, if you mean business with God, God will mean business with you. Amen? The reason why some people will never experience the best God has for them is because they aren't serious. They don't mean business with God. So God can't mean business with them. Amen? I'm telling you. Sometimes the whole reason why someone is experiencing more of God than someone else, it is essentially that. Seriousness about the most important thing that matters, and that is God. Hallelujah. Amen? And now the bad thing is when you aren't serious with God, you're going to pass on that trait to your kids. You raise them up when you have to tell them 10 times what they should do. You know, so they grow up, they say, if God means something, he should first tell me 10 times. You see what I mean? So you raise up a generation of unserious kids, man. Glory be to God. Amen? For me, I just need to know what God wants me to do. Now, I'm not perfect concerning that area, but God knows, Hallelujah. Any assignment, and I know this is a God assignment, I know for sure it's from heaven. To take me away from it, I will pursue it until it is accomplished. Amen? Glory to God. You're all happy?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
You see, Glory to God. You know, if you mean business with God, God will mean business with you. Never forget that. People stay Nadia way, because come in past 11. Here, you know, past 11. Then you they are wondering why things are not happening. They are not happening because You know, your God's child, he loves you, you know, but you're not serious. So, Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. But God is serious. And now, what he wants to do, yesterday, by the time I slept, I knew I was going to tell you about something to do with money. Amen. Not giving, But something to do with what? With money. I was so sure. Amen? When I woke up at 3, the Lord told me something, something else. Amen? And I was so impressed that when we began to sing, like the first three songs or something like that, we're all talking about that thing. But essentially, God wants you to know that he's very serious concerning whatever he has said to you. Amen? By the way, that's it. God wants you to know he's very serious. Whatever he has promised you, he's very serious. He's going to fulfill it. Are you listening to me? He's very, very serious. That's what he told me to tell you. That Ali serious. Amen? Now, some of you don't really believe it because the way you treat God, so you think he also treats you, that you understand. But he's very serious. He wants you to know that whatever he has promised you, he's going to fulfill it. Hallelujah. Everything. And the reason why I guess he sent me to tell you this is because, man, I know God is faithful. You guys, I know it. Amen. For some reason, most people know me for preaching about money, you know, those things. Amen. But when I used to preach in Zoe, I believe one of my key messages then was about the faithfulness of God, how to hold on to the word of the Lord. Glory be to God. Man, I know God is faithful. I know it. I know it. You know, I know that God is faithful. He's given me promises in the past. I held on to those words. I was abused. Some of you haven't gotten abused yet over, you know, believing God over. You have not. You have not. I was. So I know. You know, but God proved faithful. Amen? Proved faithful. And before you know it, people were going undercover, man. Everyone had said, what? You know, any nonsense. Glory be to God. God is faithful. He wants you to know that. I don't know why he wanted this to be said today. Maybe, I guess it follows from Thursday, where some prophetic guy is sensitive. That some people were, you know, starting to doubt some things, you know, which God has told them. I don't know. But, yeah. Maybe it's a contrast. I don't know. For me, I'm just telling you what he told me. Amen? That he's very serious concerning what? What he told you. Amen? Remembering that he's not like you. He's not unserious like who? Like your neighbor. Not you. Your neighbor. Glory be to God. Amen? Hallelujah. You all know Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. It says that God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Repent there means changing of mind. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and he will not make it good? God is not a what? A man. That he should what? He should lie. And then he changed his mind. There is a lady who dreamt some months ago. She dreamt when Joanne, it's okay, was like a bride. Joanne was a bride. And Joanne, I think, passed on. What do you girls call those things? The bouquet. Hey, Joanne passed on the bouquet to her. You understand? Now, that just means, you girls know what that means. I don't think these guys know what that means. Hallelujah. I'm trying to find out which other guy. I don't have a clue. But I also didn't know those things until a few years ago. No man, It just meant that she's going to get married. Then, a short while later, now this girl has to get married. Because a short while later, someone who didn't know about that dream, who was it? Jean. Jean, who sits here usually. Jean dreamt when that lady had caught Rachel's flowers, Rachel's bouquet. You understand? Now, at the wedding, Rachel gave whatever to some people, which is okay. And now their thing is, just because this girl got it in the spirit, does not mean that other people, you understand? That's, but anyway, now, that lady has, now, I remember some time ago, I met her somewhere, and I told her that that promise, you understand, has to get fulfilled. Irrespective of what happened, you understand? No one can make it fail to come true. You know, if she had the guy in her mind, maybe John, because John is what? He's single. And maybe she thinks it's John. You understand? Then John either is taken in the spirit like Enoch. You know, he's taken, you know, and then he's no more, like Elijah. Now, John's going to heaven. Now, let's say, okay, it is true, God had said what? John. But then John over messes up God, and God, he takes him. Now, the bouquet thing has to happen. It has to. God cannot exactly this. He cannot repent. Say, oh, sorry, man. John loved me so much, and I took him. And I told you, John. You understand? You know, that thing, but I don't think in her dreams there was anything like John, what? Amen? I don't know, maybe she had other. But, you know, God is not a man that he should repent, change his mind. She has to, now, the only person who can negate that from happening is her. She can say, God, I don't want to get married. I don't. But from the way I saw her when she was telling me those dreams, she wants to get married. Hallelujah. And I don't see her changing her mind in the next. You know. You know, why did we go there? I don't know. I think I was, yes, I know, but I think I was going to something. Hallelujah. You see, one of the things that messes up the children of God, they attach God's promises, they attach them to things which God didn't put in the picture. Do you understand? Now, God said he's going to prosper you. That's what he said, only. Then, you attach that promise to a job. You understand? Then, your contract ends or you lose a job, then all of a sudden, the promise is out of the picture. Did God say in his promise of prosperity, did he say job? Now you added your things. Because somehow in your head, you think prosperity only comes when with a job. You don't know that most people with jobs are not prosperous. You understand? Glory be to God. You see, you add things, a condition. Now the thing, the job, what, you know, is gone. Now all of a sudden, the promise gone. You know, and because you now negate the word of God, you're doomed in that sense. Hallelujah. So stop attaching conditions to God's promises, conditions which even he himself didn't give. He didn't know you added your own things. Now, sometimes and usually, God adds conditions. Now, add only conditions which God added. Don't add your things. Now, again, like this marriage who beat. Now, it would be so stupid for that girl, Joanne's bouquet and Rachel's, whatever, to attach the condition to her getting what? Married to John. You understand? Eh? Then when John should, you know, eh? Then all of a sudden, what? Now, did God say that? Amen? God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent, that he should change his mind. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and he will not make it good? Glory be to God. Amen? Hallelujah. The other day I met Jackie Uwera's boyfriend. A very nice guy. Hallelujah. I looked at the guy as, you know, I was talking and I thought, wow, very handsome. Amen. But anyway, that's something else. Eh? Glory be to God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 and 25. People are weird, eh? I remember the story. Years ago, there's a friend of mine, eh, who was telling me of a certain couple. They were not getting a child. Eh? The lady wasn't conceiving. Eh? Now, man. So, this friend of my friend was involved in talking to them, to help them to see that happening. Eh? Do you know what they discovered? They discovered that what? I'm trying to make sure that we have the appropriate age group here. They discovered that these guys were not actually what? Anyway, you know. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Anyway. Now, you have understood what I wanted to say. You know I'm so holy, yeah? So they are. Now, you know, yeah? Hallelujah. It's like, anyway, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 and 25, eh? To show you how serious God is. Eh? First of all, it says, talking about being born again, it says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. The word of God does what? It lives and abides forever. Amen? Then it says, verse 24, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of the grass. The grass withers, and this flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. This is how serious the word of the Lord is. In this sense, any promise he has made unto you. Glory be to God. I don't know how I can impart this conviction I have about the promises of God. All I need, me, Moses, is just a very clear word from God. And we are done. I'm telling you. Right now, I don't need to read the Bible. To find a scripture how God is going to prosper me. I know those scriptures. But please understand me in context. I don't need them. Hallelujah. I don't. God told me when I was at the university, he told me, if you joyfully obey the laws of giving and receiving, you will never see financial depression in your life. No, that's all I need, and I have it. It's all I need, and I have it. Glory be to God. Amen? You know, that's why I'm amazed when I find people who have gotten very clear instructions from heaven and are playing around with. I'm amazed because I just don't know how they do that. I just don't know how they do that. But his word lives and abides forever, or endures forever. Glory be to God. Now, because God is so serious with his word, you know, I remember years ago reading a book by Kenneth Copeland, The Laws of Financial Prosperity. He wrote this book, I guess, in the 70s or something, but I landed on it many years ago when I was at university, you know. And in that book, he made a statement, and he said that the Lord, that what makes God good is because his word is good. You can count on his word. If his word was bad, then he would be a bad God, man. He wouldn't even be God. What makes him good is because his word is good. Hallelujah. That's why it says that he has exalted his word even above his name. Now, when God gives you a promise, because he's serious with what he says, unlike some of you, one of the reasons why you don't believe what God says is because you yourself don't believe what most of the time you say. You understand? You make promises, you don't keep them. You know what I mean? I'll be there at 10. You know, then someone's waiting for you at 10. You're not anywhere near the whatever. Then they call you at 30. Where are you? For me, I'm going. They say, oh, sorry, I'm coming. Wait. Then you arrive at 11. And that's your life. You don't see anything wrong with that. Now, for that reason, even when God gives you a promise that I'm going to visit you at 10, again, you take him unserious. You know, because that's how you are. So you think also that's how God is. You understand? So then you think, yeah, 10, okay. He said 10, but he might come at noon. You understand? Then you appear at noon. And God already left. Because for him, he said 10. He didn't say, I'm going to wait for you for 2 hours. That condition wasn't there in the what? The promise, that I give an allowance, plus minus 2 hours. Arrival. You see, now because you're not serious with your own words, that's why you even don't believe anyone else's words. Including, but anyway, God is serious with his words. And when he gives a promise, you understand, he has given himself. And he cannot allow that promise to fall to the ground. Amen? That's why Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 12, in NIV it says that God watches over his word to perform it or to fulfill it. He watches, man. The best way you can see that is, you know, just imagine like a word, you know, let's say it is animated, a word coming out of, like of God's mouth. He's in heaven. Then now it's falling, it's going to the earth. Now, to me, the wise see is that at that time, all God's attention, the focus is on that word as it is falling. He's following it wherever it is going. You know, it reaches Nigeria, then the wind blows it to Ntinda. It's like at that moment, God is not seeing anything else. But, you know, his eyes are following that word, where it is going. You understand? And not only that, but he wants to make sure, and he knows that it is going to prosper in the very thing for which he sent it. Amen? Now, this is how serious God is with his word. Amen? He says, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. Amen? Now, I'm not talking about your word or your best prophet's word. You understand? I'm talking about God's word. Now, how it came to you, that's another issue. It could have come through your best prophet. Could have come through a dream, a vision, whatever. Oh, God could have spoken to yourself, like by the inner witness. Amen? He says, I'm watching over that word to see it fulfilled. Are you listening to me? Are you encouraged? Some of you, the reason why you're not encouraged is because your nature, you just don't. You don't believe yourself. You're always lying. You know, you just don't believe nothing. So then when God, you're like, okay, we shall see. Nice, see money, you know. These things. That's why now God has to raise up people like Elvis. They first show you your past, you know, so they can really show you that now what is coming. Eh? What I'm going to tell you about what is coming, eh? You can count on it. Eh? Amen? Glory be to God. Amen. Amen? You don't just believe, you know? Especially, I guess, people who work like in, you know, I love this thing called espionage. Eh? For some reason, I love the thing. For some reason, now, I've never watched a movie, you know, about it. But the whole subject, the whole idea, eh, like, intrigues me. Eh? Now, knowing what's, having some understanding of what that discipline involves, eh, I imagine you have to lie. You know, you have to lie. You have, anyway, there must be a great bit of lying in there. Did you see so-and-so pastor? No, I didn't see him. What's your name? Robert. Anyway, I think in that area, you know, you have to say, you have to pretend, to pretend. You're spying on someone, but you have to pretend like what? You're on your own things. You know, So I think, I could be wrong, but I think people who work like in that whatever, I think they can also find it so hard to believe some of the promises of God or to take God seriously. I think. I haven't said it is. I said I think. So it has to take the grace of God to help them take God, what? His words. I think, I don't know. Glory be to God. Amen? Hallelujah. The next verse is a verse I think Sarah likes it a lot. Eh? But I think I'm one of the people who made it popular. Eh? Like in Zoe, years ago. Eh? Psalm 89, verse 33 to 35. Eh? 33? Yeah. It begins, then part B of 33 says, basically, I will not allow my faithfulness to fail. This is God speaking. I will not do what? I will not allow my faithfulness to fail. Then it says, my covenant, the word God has spoken to you, I will not break. Amen? No alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Hallelujah. You know these verses. You know them. Amen? But I pray that today they become revelation to you. Amen? He says that I will not allow my faithfulness to fail. My covenant I will not break. No alter the word that has gone out of my mouth. Then he says, once I have sworn by my holiness, then he says, I will not lie to Tadeo. Put in your name. He says, I will not lie to you. Because I'm not a liar like your girlfriend. Amen? The issue is, you hang around so much with your girlfriend. You know, that now all that is in your head are lies. Not all girlfriends, by the way, but your girlfriend. So, you know, by the time you're done with that 5 hours, all that is in your world are lies. So now you think every other person is lying, even God. Hallelujah. Joseph, say amen to that. 5 hours with your girlfriend. Ooh, yeah. Amen. But God says, I will not lie to you. Some of you, you came here to hear deep stuff. But you see, my experience with this, I have friends who ventured into deep revelation, you understand? Deep mysteries. They are my friends. Now I'm not so close with them, I just meet them once in a while. But I remember in those days, with their deep nonsense, those guys never used to have a testimony. They would never come and say, man, do you know what has happened today? You know, all they always had was some doctrine, some explanation of how when you're in Christ, then why you are what, you know. The great, you know, in no sense. No, but they never used to have a testimony. Never. Never. I'm telling you the truth. And even those things they were calling deep, they were, you would find in the scriptures a simple verse to it. You know, a simple verse to it. But somehow they put in so much English and much intellectualism, then they call it deep. No, a guy can get this scripture, this simple thing where I say, I will not lie. Then they, because you know when Abraham, then it becomes deep. Then for some of you who don't know the Bible, you think guys are deep. But anyway, but it's just, I will not lie, but they have made it what? But when you analyze all that they are saying, they're actually saying, that God doesn't lie. And it's a simple scripture to read. Anyway, you learn these things, hopefully. Glory be to God. By the way, it's good to be deep. God wants us to be deep, to grow from one level to the other, you know. Hallelujah. But like Elvis was saying on Tuesday, most of this nonsense is just in the head. It's not in the heart. That's why it is not producing results in those people. Who they have are just words, the doctor. But I'm telling you, I knew these guys were my friends, but they never had a testimony. All that they are doing, nothing was working for them. I'm telling you. So you first acknowledge, appreciate these simple things. First of all, if you don't know that God, if you don't believe that God doesn't lie, and you build a foundation there that God is faithful, how are you going to read the Bible? You know, fall into you fly into the air of how you're Christ, how you're what, you know. First, understand that, first of all, to begin with, you know, God is going to give you lunch tomorrow. You understand? Hallelujah. You know. Then grow to those other what? Mystical things. Amen? You cannot really be strong in deep things if you haven't understood the basics. Basics. Cannot do simultaneous equations if you've never done y plus 9 is equal to 11. But you're there trying to fidget with simultaneous equation. Man, I remember why they messed up a guy. Senior one in SMAC, our first physics lesson. What the teacher, Kaios. Remember Kaios? Kaios, called Kayongo, I guess. Kaios. Man, Kaios taught us, senior ones, you're from P7, P7 VAC. Kaios taught us things. I know he was even drunk. He had a beer. So he just was speaking his things as he's scratching his beard. You know? Then he drew some diagram, like a triangle with a load on it, with a arrow, F, force, you know? Then Newton, about 20, you know? Then some angle in the triangle. Then what did was sine theta, those things. Senior one, first day of physics. So now, exams are coming one day. We are all trying to cram. Senior one is trying to cram that thing, man. I remember I tried. I knew it was coming. Now, senior five, 5 years later, I'm in senior five. Studying physics, there was a bit of mechanics. Then I saw what Kaios, what? What Kaios? Yeah. Then I realized that the guy was teaching us, man, senior five things. I'm telling you, senior five stuff. The guy, I think, entered class, he thought he was talking to senior fives. Because he used to teach, I guess, like all level anyway. So the guy came, man, mechanics. Like you guys who did physics or math, you know, you can try, then you can load, you know, calculate. Why did I go there? What was I talking about? Basics. No, you see, mechanics. Hallelujah. Then there was another guy, man. We are with in the same class. He's now a doctor, a great whatever, you know. He's a big guy actually here at what? Kadik. The guy was in P7 apparently. I hear from his what? Primary, whatever schoolmate. And the guy was studying the Bunsen burner. You remember the Bunsen burner? P7, yeah? The guy was doing the Bunsen burner. Came to senior one now. According to him now, he already knew the Bunsen burner. So now he was doing what? Senior three stuff. And the guy used to grasp. Because he was already, you know, he was never trying to get the basics, so he would grasp, you know. Meanwhile, he's telling you what, deep stuff. But I guess he recovered from his what? Stupidity. Because now he's a great doctor. Otherwise, he wouldn't have become a doctor. He recovered, I guess, maybe in senior five or something. Amen. The guy was always there. Anyway, please. Now, this is a major basic. That God is faithful. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if this God wasn't like faithful to his word, this whole earth would have fallen apart already. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 1:3 that he upholds the earth, the universe, by his powerful word, by the word of his power. Amen? If it wasn't his, you know, his word, the faithfulness to his word, this was, you wouldn't be here to begin with. Glory be to God. Amen? Once again, tell your neighbor that God is not like you. Hallelujah. Now, here is where many people falter. Of course, they falter, number one, they don't believe what they say. They're always lying. So they even don't go, okay, said, okay. Yeah? Now, then others falter on just this word. Resistance from the enemy. The enemy fighting what? A promise. Now, at that juncture, there are many casualties. By the way, to be honest, I honor Charlotte, though you came in late, but I honor her. This girl dreamt when she's supposed to be here in this church, and she stays in Muyenga. Now, Muyenga is far. Muyenga is far. But you see now, to an extent, she's serious. To an extent. She's not very serious, but coming from Muyenga to Ntinda, just church, 2 hours. I mean, why? There are churches nearby, and they're all churches. That's how most people think. They're all churches. Well, first of all, they are not all churches. Amen. Some churches were not begun from by God. Then those which were begun by God, they were already closed in the spirit. Hallelujah. But that is something else. Hallelujah. Now, someone is calling me. There's a phone call here. Anyway. Glory be to God. So you shouldn't use phones. When what? When preaching. So contention, the enemy contends against the word. Now, many people fall at that juncture. But you shouldn't fall, because you know God is faithful. He's watching over his word. There's no force that can hinder the promise of God from coming to pass, because there's no powerful being than God. You understand? So all the power that he is, you understand, it is behind that promise he has given to you. Glory be to God. Amen. You remember Joseph, the dreamer, one of the 12 sons of Jacob, you know, received a promise, you know. And, you know, Things got tight. Eh? Hallelujah. Sold him. They threw him in a pit. Then he sold to whatever Egypt. Became a slave. Eh? You know. Some lustful woman tried to mess him up. Eh? You know. But the guy remained steady. Until the word came to pass. Hallelujah. Amen. You know these things. Eh? Simple things. Hallelujah. For me, I decided I'm going to major in the simple things. Until God sees me that cut here, then we shall go to what? The deeper things of God. I'm telling you, we are not moving from here. Me, you guys go ahead and what? Hallelujah. The Bible says in Psalm 105, verse 17 to 19, that he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they had with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. Then he says that the word of the Lord tested him. The word of the Lord did what? Tested him. Now, one thing is you're not going to escape are the tests. Hallelujah. And the God who loves you allows them. He allows them. He is the one who allows. Hallelujah. The gracious God. The God full of grace. Allows. Allows. Tests. Things contrary to the word, man, are thrown in your face. It's another thing when you're just hearing about them. But it's another thing when they are thrown in your face like this. Glory be to God. Amen? Hallelujah. I remember some time ago, there is a guy, if he's here, rather if you know him, don't tell him that I said it, but you won't know him. There's a guy, this is some time ago. I dreamt when he was getting married to someone. So of course I knew. There's some of my dreams which I know they are what? They're from heaven. I can, from my experience with dreams, and I can look at a dream and I see how it has come. How God has put this together, this you know, and I can tell. So I told this guy, you know, some time ago, whatever, you know, this is, God, you know, God wants the best for you, you know. Now later, this person appears, comes to me with his phone, and shows me a babe, says, some other babe says, this is where. In my face, do you understand? This is what I mean when things are thrown in your face. Now, that didn't concern me because I wasn't, you know. But another thing, let's say, if now, for example, prosperity, then the enemy throws poverty in your face. You're laid off work. You understand? Whoever was saying, you know, anyway, things have, now, like, what happened to Job? You know, then, pew, up, you know. Then, Emufele plays your money, your retirement, whatever, you know, those things. Then, before you know it, someone gets sick, then they need how many million, you just see money going. Now, that is poverty throwing your face. You're there saying that the Lord told you, if you joyfully obey the laws of giving and receiving, you'll never, then the enemy say, okay, we are going to see. But I'll never forget Abigail, when she was getting born. Eden, it was easier. Most of you know those dreams I got. Number one, Eden, conceive now, if you know, to get birth and sex, and then, you know, anyway, that is chapter 10, I guess, in my book. In my book of prosperity, I have a chapter there entitled Living an Inheritance. Because the Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. So a good man is a rich man. Hallelujah. Anyway, so for Abigail Samuel, now for Eden, it was a bit, came to the second. You know, the dreams were kind of similar, the instructions. Man, the enemy was like, now this one, it ain't happening. Because he had seen the impact it had had. Prior to that, to the Eden thing, some people never used to take me, what? Serious, because I was in deep. You know, I was preaching this way, but some guys were, yes. Then when the Eden thing happened, man, some guys came and confessed to me that from that day, I began to take it from that day. So it changed people's lives. Because now, for the firstborn, guys knew from the start how things began. Like everything would happen, you know. When the dream came, I went to school. I told, I dreamt yesterday when my kid was going, you know. So they were always updated. And I know people were watching to see how this guy is going to fall on his face, you know. Then the thing happened miraculously. Even the paying of the bills. So 2 years later, or whatever, another dream came. Now, second born. Same instructions, she will go by states B, and the reason, sacrifices you have made in the past that have greatly touched my enemy. The enemy was like, cut this one. It ain't happening. Man, it was tough. Sam knows. You know, later when it happened, Sam looked at me and said, I have never seen you that tired, like in that like 2 weeks. The things that were happening contrary, that I couldn't even share with my wife because I didn't want to discourage. And that's what you should also learn. Don't just go around, blah, 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 blah. You go to your husband. Do you know what has happened? You know, there's something. There is no scripture in the Bible. You guys who do marriage, whatever. There's no single scripture in the Bible which says you should tell your spouse everything. It's not there. It's not. Is it there? Joanne, is it there? It's not there. But some guys preach it. You don't hide anything from your... You know, if that were true, even God would be telling you everything. In that sense, you would even become God. It's not there. I know Carol is not happy that Albert is hearing that. Hallelujah. But it's not there. So there's something, man, concerning this fight I was in. I wouldn't tell Jeremiah. I wouldn't. I don't know this information. It's not the right time. Meanwhile, I'm sharing it with other people, but not with my wife. So, but your wife is your best friend. How can other people be knowing and find she doesn't know? I mean, where does it say that she should know everything my friends know? Or she should be the first to know. It's not there. I know you don't want to hear this thing, but it's the truth. Amen? But now I know my wife was glad to know those things after. After then, I told her, "Do you remember, man, those days, man? Let me tell you what was happening behind the scenes. Do you know?" You know, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Anyway, to the fight. The fight of faith. And it came to pass. Then I remember when I went to pick them up, we had a night over, I think, in New York or somewhere. And then I took a nap, you know. Then in that nap, I had a dream, which essentially God was saying that because of you, because having, you know, held my word with dear, because of you, our team won. Like this has happened because of you. Hallelujah. God said, because our team won. Our team, meaning God, me, my wife, you understand? Our team won. Not because of God, but because of me. Hallelujah. Why? Because I held on to his word, even when contrary things were thrown at me. Glory be to God. What God is saying, once again, is that he's serious. He means what he says, and he says what he means. He's serious. He's saying to you that what he has promised you, he is going to fulfill. I'm telling you, these things are very simple, but they are very important. He's going to fulfill. Amen? Hallelujah. I remember when Elvis came here close to 1 year ago. I remember he got a lady who didn't have, like, children, you understand? And somehow he knew it in the spirit, and then I think he prayed for one, Now, that lady has to get a child. I don't think she has a child yet, but it has to happen. Glory be to God. Amen? And I know she's not as stupid as the other couple that I told you. Gage was not having a child yet. Hallelujah. They were like nursery kids anyway. Glory be to God. Amen? God is what? He's faithful. He's what? Faithful. Have you guys read Angels on Assignment? The book Angels on Assignment. Tadeo, have you read it? You're reading medicine books. Read those medicine books, but not only them. Otherwise, you what? You just... Anyway. Now, some guy in that book, the author, or the person who had the experiences, used to get angelic visitations. And Gabriel used to occasionally come to him. And concerning the promises of God, this is what Gabriel told him. He says, something like this, I guess. He says, another of the many beautiful truths God gave me through the mouth of the angel Gabriel was that everything God has promised is already completed as far as God's book in heaven is concerned. This statement was very difficult for me to understand, so Gabriel took a pencil. Can you imagine an angel coming and drawing for his staff? Amen? Took a pencil and did what? Which I held in my hand. Then he drew a rough sketch. This signal was drawn by what? Gabriel. This was just like photocopy. He drew this. Then what did he say about this? And he said, go back to the picture. So he drew this. So he said, this is what God has promised you. The whole big square or rectangle. Then he said, but this other small bit in the middle, which is not yet clear to you, which I guess is like contrary, like it doesn't make sense, Then now, you focus all your attention on that unclear thing, something that is not right, something that is a bit messy, and you focus on that thing. And before you know it, what you focus on magnifies. Before you know it, even you wonder whether God has ever what? Spoken to you. Hallelujah. So what did he say? He said, everything God has promised is completed in that picture. But he said, here is a tiny little spot representing things unclear to you. Things not yet complete. Hallelujah. You often spend your time looking at these things until the tiny spot expands outward and fills the frame and totally hides what God has done. Hallelujah. But according to God, the moment he said the word, it was done. Now here in the natural, there are things which are not what adding up yet. And then you focus on that. Glory be to God. Amen? And then you get messed up. And then because faith is not, the word of God is not mixed with faith, nothing happens. Amen? But God wants you to know he's serious. What he has promised you is going to come to pass. Hallelujah. We should be like Abraham, our father, in Romans chapter 4, verse 17 to 21. You know that thing. It says, as it is written, I have made you father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead, and calls all things which do not exist as though they were. Now, Abraham here, the Bible says in verse 18, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. Amen? Contrary to hope. You see, it is easy to believe that you're going to prosper. When you're ready, like prosper, you are born in a rich family. You have a degree from where, then a master's from whichever place. Then some rich guy is on your case. Hallelujah. Amen. There you are, you see prosperity. I am blessed. I'm, you know, when you've added that for everything makes what? Hallelujah. Your mother bought a house where you just know even if you're thrown out of the apartment you're in, your mother will just throw out the other one, the tenant, then you know him. You know it's very easy. And then you even say, these preachers were always talking about prosperity. Don't they have other things to talk about? Just because for you sit them on your cover, they catch you about prosperity. Hallelujah. But man, when things are thrown in your face, no prosperity, no nothing. But so he says, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. I know what happened. You know, he believed so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. Glory be to God. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. That means he was impotent. Now for you, you don't have a child. Let's say you are a guy. You don't have a child. You're not even impotent. You understand? You're still what some guys, friends of mine, used to call a performer. You're still a what? You're still a what? Owen. You're still a performer. You know, you haven't reached Abraham. Really, why should you waver? You're still even a performer. Now, Abraham, even the performance, he didn't have it. So he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb, double trouble. You're not performing? Even your wife? Useless. Meanwhile, useless in quotes. Meanwhile, you have a word from God. I'm going to become a father of many nations. I'm the FPO. 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 You know, FPO receives a rent bill, you know. The landlord, the rent, you know. FPO, you know. Anyway. But the Bible says he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Amen. Verse 21, Albert, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Now that's God's promise to you. What he promised, he is able to perform. That's why that song, God, he's able to what? How does it go? Let's sing it.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.